Psalms with me. Turn to Psalm 119. What a beautiful psalm. And our thought and our idea has centered around the Word, and we're looking right now at the qualities of the Word. And so we hope and we pray that this is illuminating and helping in our growth and our walk with Christ. My mind just keeps going back. I was so fed by Genesis, and I was so fed by the life of Joseph and the thought of obedience. God just blessed my heart with that thought, and I'm trying to resist the urge to go back to Genesis. But we talked about Ephraim. We could talk about Manasseh. There's a lot there. But I do feel that we should continue here in our discipleship series. So Psalm 119, now go all the way. This sounds a little different than we're used to. Go all the way to verse 160. Long book and long chapters, but what a blessing. Psalm 119 is a true treasure. And so we'll look at Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 160. And we looked, when we last were together on Wednesday night, we looked at the qualities of the Word, and we began by looking at the purity of the Word. We looked at how the Word is pure in its intentions, pure in its invention, and it's pure in its inspiration. And tonight we're going to look, Psalm 119, verse 160. The Bible says, "The Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." And so tonight we're going to look, with the help of the Lord, at the next quality of the Word, which is its truth. And this is what makes our faith in Christ so different than what others have and what others possess. And every religion tries to sell the truth of their religion, right? The Buddhist or the Muslim or the Catholic, they want to sell, the Christian wants to sell the truth of their religion. Rightfully so. You believe in something, you want to sell the truth of what you believe. But nothing has the proof and the evidence of its truth like the Word of God. And so that's why I'm not a Buddhist. That's why I'm not a Catholic. That's why I'm not a Muslim or some one of these other religions. I'm a Christian, solidified and sure that I have the Word of God in front of me, that I can hold on to its truth. If we can't be sure that this Word is true, why bother? And that's just the fact of the matter. If we do not believe that this Word is true, why bother with it? Why spend all this time and all this effort and all this money and not believe that it's true? I believe the Word's true, amen? I feel in my heart, by what I have seen, what we have that other religions don't have, is we have the Holy Spirit of God. And He bears witness to me that this is truth. And He shows me in His presence with me, and his time He spends with me, and my time that I spend in this Word convinces me that it's true. And so what a blessing it is. And the Apostle Paul talks about a pure religion. We use the word religion, and I use that a lot. And it almost has taken a negative context or a negative use, because sometimes in Christian circles we think of religion as meaning false. But the Apostle Paul talked about striving and chasing after a pure religion. So we don't just have a religion that's based off of ideas. We don't have a religion that's just based off of thoughts or based off of practices. But we have a religion that is based off of a true Word of God, and that's what makes it pure. He's given us this pure Word. That's what makes it true. He's given us this precious Word, and the psalmist says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." I'm like some other people have said, and somebody recently, I forget who it was, but somebody told me, might have been Wayne, told me the other night, but I believe my Bible, from where it says Reverend Joshua I. Boyd on the front to the back where it says genuine leather. I mean, I think Brother Wayne was telling me about how maybe Sharon Moore used to say that, or one of the former pastors used to say that. And I believe that. There's a song we used to sing in our youth group, our youth choir. I believe in the blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. I forget the exact words, but anyway, the words of the song go along, and they say, I believe in the blessed book from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to end. I believe in it. I believe it's pure, and I believe it's true. And so that's the second quality we're going to look at of the Word of God, is its truth. I think that that should make us bold as Christians, is that we have a true word, that we have a word that we can count on, that we can go back on, and we can hold on to, that we can possess, and we know that it's true. What would a word be without truth? It'd just be another book. And the truth is, we would come to the end of our lives and we would die, and we about said we would face God, but if the word's not true, we'd face nothing. Just die. What a letdown that would be. But I have faith that I will die and I will face God and I'll be welcomed into heaven because I believe in the truth of his word. And if you can't grab hold of the truth of his word and you can't have victory and you can't have hope in the truth of his word, I'd use the altar. I'd get right with God. I'd accept Christ, whatever that may be. I mean, if we can't be confident in the truth of the word, either we're missing out and we don't have a relationship with Christ, or we've backslidden to the point where we're not effective for God. It's hard to believe some things sometimes, ain't it? You ever think about God's existence before he created the world? Whew. Blow your mind. Because in our mind, there's an answer to everything. Everybody came from somewhere, right? I was just talking to Riley this morning. I dropped him off at my brother's house. I said I was having to explain aunts and uncles to him on the way over here. He's trying to figure out how that works. Then I had to explain how mom and daddies work. He said somebody, I forget who it was, he said somebody didn't have a mom and daddy. I said everybody's got a mom and daddy. And we try to sometimes apply that to God, and it just doesn't make sense. How did God exist before he created the earth? What I have to go on is I believe the word is true. And the word tells me that he existed. He is God, and he existed before we were created. He existed before the earth was spoken into existence. When everything was just a void and darkness, he existed. And I just go on the truth of the word and go forward. Just that song, Brother Mark, that testimony you gave. We're not going to know, and by the time we do, it ain't going to matter. But some people, they can't get on board with what we're doing because they can't understand where God come from. You ever heard that? Some people, I heard an argument last night. I was watching a little video of people arguing. Not arguing, they were debating. They weren't arguing, they were debating. They said, y'all know the difference in arguing and debating, right? You'll know the difference when you see it. They were debating the existence of God. And one man said, the Christian was trying to say, well, there's proof that God existed. There's proof that Jesus was literally, truthfully lived on the earth. You've got the Gospels, and you've also got a man named Josephus who was a Jew that told a story. He lived about 10 years after Jesus Christ died, but he told the story of accounts that he heard of people that saw these miracles. And could you imagine talking to someone who had seen the miracles of Jesus? And so he's telling him this, and he's giving him this evidence. This guy says, well, there's proof that Jesus lived, but there's no proof that he died and he was resurrected. He just couldn't make sense in his mind. And guess what? That don't make sense to this flesh, does it? That a man would die and he would get up and walk out of the grave, because guess what? Anybody I've ever known that's died, they're still dead. But Jesus is different. And what I have to go on is, although I did not witness it, and although I did not see it, and although I did not hear it, and although that I was not around, that I believe in the truth of the Word of God, so I have confidence that what I believe is true. But the confidence has to come from the Word. Either you're going to take the Word and you're going to believe what the Word says, or you're not. And there's some people, they're just not going to believe it. Because they can't know what God was doing before He spoke the world into existence. Because they can't see with their own eyes Jesus getting up and walking out of the grave. But I tell you, the Word's true. Say, well, you just haven't convinced me. All I can say is come taste and see. I can't explain it. I'm not equipped with the mind to try to think up the way to explain it. But what I do know is what I feel in my soul, by virtue and work of the Holy Ghost of God, by what I have felt with my relationship with Jesus Christ, by the love that I see from God my Father, I believe this Word is true. And so the Word is not only pure in its intention, it's true standing before us. So first, what does the Word do in its truth? First thing that the Word does is it oversees preaching. First of a few different thoughts. It oversees preaching, and that's what I love. The preached Word of God is God's method of communication of the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong, I love singing. Now, I love good singing, so I like Mountain View kind of singing. I like Mountain View kind of music. You don't get it everywhere you go, I'm going to promise you. And I don't mean that bad towards anybody. There's some places they just ain't got it. But, man, when you get around good singing, it's a blessing. And I'm not talking about, now we got some good singers in here. But I'm not talking about good singing and just you can hit notes or keep on key. I'm talking about singing from the heart, amen? That's good singing. Well, that's what I like. But the preached Word of God is the method, the foolishness of preaching. The literal foolishness of preaching is the method in which God has always used to communicate His Word to men and women across the world. All the way back in the days of the prophets, the verbal communication. Look at Moses. Moses, he said, God, I can't even talk. Guess what? Aaron will step up and talk. What was the method? What were they trying to do? They were trying to communicate the Word of God. And it comes by man standing up and proclaiming God to listeners and believers and sinners, saints, backslidden. But the truth of the Word oversees the preaching, or at least it should, and it doesn't oversee the preaching everywhere. Doesn't take but a few seconds scrolling on Facebook to find that out. But the truth of this Word should and will oversee the preached Word of God. And that's how the Word is effective. And that's how people can be convinced that the Word is true. Imagine a preacher to get behind a podium and not believe in this book he's preaching. I told you, it may have been Wednesday night, the preacher that got up and said, well, I'm gonna read this out of 1 Corinthians, but I want to give you a disclaimer. It's a little offensive. I believe in this book beginning to end. Anyone who would stand and say, before I preach this, let me give you a disclaimer, should not be behind a pulpit. And there's a lot of people that twist it and try to make it into what they like or what they want to receive. Brother Sam and I were just talking over lunch today about how you go into grocery stores and how many brands of just cereal that we named off in 30 seconds. I said, that's why I like Aldi's. Anybody like Aldi's? I like Aldi's because guess what? They got three brands of everything. They got low fat, high sugar, and low sugar. Praise the Lord. Just find what fits your health profile and go on. That's it. I love it. Guess what? It's a lot cheaper to do things that way. We were talking about churches. There's different. Everybody wants different flavors. I said there's a lot of Fruit Loops out there. He can tell. Sam said, everybody want, but we really want Cheerios. I said, there's a lot of Honey Nut Cheerios out there. There's a lot of different varieties of cereal in churches, amen. Lucky Charms and Count Chocula's and all the others. But if the truth of the Word is not overseeing the preaching, then you're not preaching the Word. It requires the truth of the Word filled up spiritually in someone excited. I don't want to hear something from somebody that I don't believe, that they believe what they're pitching. When I was doing sales, like banking sales, which is, my goodness, try to sell a checking account, that's a pain. Other stuff sells itself. You try to get somebody that's never paid fees on a checking account to pay for fees on a checking account, that's a pain in the neck. But I would always meet my goals in sales, and my coworkers, they'd be like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? I said, well, believe it or not, I'm not selling anybody anything they don't need. I'm not going to target somebody's grandma and try to get her to sign up for 10 different credit cards. But when I see a need, because it's benefited me, I try to share that with somebody. And guess what? Every month I meet my goals. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you think you're some sales guru. But it's pretty simple. I don't push anything on anybody that I don't believe in. And the truth is, the truth of this word compels me to come to you 3 times a week and to try to feed you spiritually, that the truth of this word would oversee my preaching, that it would oversee my words, that it would oversee what I feed you. You're entrusting yourself and your spiritual life and your family, your children. You're entrusting that to me to deliver to you good food. And if I don't believe in it, my goodness, what a shame that is. But there's so many that stand, and they don't stand with the boldness of the truth of the word. So the truth of the word should oversee the preaching. It oversees the preaching, and I love this. It outlasts the powers and the principalities of the world. It outlasts the powers and the principalities of the world. We've talked about it, and I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. 2024 is a year for America, ain't it? But every time we come to an election, ain't it a year? Man, I mean, you got the Republicans. Man, if we don't get that Democrat out of office, it's just, there's going to be civil war and it's going to fall apart. And there may be, I don't know. I live way far enough out in the woods, I'll be okay for a week. Everybody going to come steal my taters after that. That's what I told Shelby. It's kind of the worst thing to live and grow your own food, because everybody going to be come stealing from you. So that, is that not the attitude? Man, here we are. We're going to be, everybody saw Red Dawn, right? That's what's going to happen. Man, people are going to be coming from the sky and killing us. They may do it, I don't know. But guess what? Getting somebody else in the office ain't going to change what's going to happen. We'll go to the other side, and you got the Democrats. Well, man, they'll literally die if you would elect a Republican. I mean, there are videos all over the internet of that. We get a Republican office, I'm just literally going to die. Put a Republican office, nothing is going to change unless God wills it, God allows it. And if it gets bad, guess what? That's God's will unfolding. You say, well, that's unfair. Well, guess what? Sin is unfair to God. And on the other side of things, we can get somebody in office and they might believe the way that we believe and we might like the way they look at things. But without the help and the power of God, nothing is going to get better. But what I do know is, going back through history, that I look back through my family and all the different countries and all the different nations, if you go back through your genealogy, you will find that your family and your ancestry have been members of a lot of different societies. They've been citizens of a lot of different countries. They've lived a lot of different places. They've been through a lot of different things. And what I do know is, while principalities and powers, they may fall, God's word will be true through everything. How do I know that? Because whatever flag has flown over the heads of our ancestors, the word of God is the one thing that has outlasted all the principalities, all the powers, all the countries. I am fired up today. I thank the Lord that His word will outlast everything upon this earth. And guess what? I got a way I want to see things go at the end of this year. But I have realized that we have put what we can do on a pedestal, and we have tried to insert ourselves into God's position for how things go. It may not be God's will that our children and grandchildren live and grow up in the world that we lived and grew up in. But the reality is, God's word will last. And 2,000 years from now, if time tarries, His word will still be true. How do I know that? Why do I believe it? It's because you can go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1 and verse number 1, and I believe God existed before He created this earth. And I believe that if God existed before He created this earth, then He is still God today, and He will still be God tomorrow. So the truth of His word, it outlasts the powers and principalities. The last thought under truth is, it overcomes persecution. As we preached and as we shared last Wednesday from Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. God's word outlasts persecution, and that tells me that it's true, because people have been willing to go to the axe and die for His word, and it still stands. They're just proven through their death and their martyrdom and their sacrifice, they're just proving the truth of the word. That's not the way I want to go. We've established that. Love to not die of persecution would be awesome. Not to die burning at the stake or whatever else. But the fact is I believe in the truth of the word. If you've ever read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it was written years ago, but Fox's Book of Martyrs, especially during the Reformation era, there were many people persecuted and killed for preaching the gospel. And the stories would they're brutal. How they would kill people. I mean, I'm not going to get into all of it, but it was brutal. To be burned alive would not be an ideal way to go. And there are stories of Christians amidst the flames of persecution, praising and crying out to the Lord. Go to the book of Acts. What did Stephen do when he was stoned? He looked up to heaven. See, this book, the truth of this book, it outlasts persecution. And as hard as they try to fight against it, as far down as they try to push this word, as much as they try to subject it to scrutiny, as much as they want us to believe that it's imperfect, as much as they want us to believe that it's just some old some religion that grandma and grandpa believe, the truth is that the word has lasted through generation and generation. You realize that it's your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, your great parents, as grandparents, as far as you go back, we could trace our family lines all the way back to the first person in our family that heard the name Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That 2,000 years ago, there was somebody that your great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather, and they heard the name of Jesus, and they turned to Jesus Christ, and they were saved. And generation after generation, not only has it outlasted the flags that will fly and the kings that would stand and the presidents that would be elected, it outlasted all those things, but this word has also outlasted the persecution that they fell under. To where we stand here today, and we often take for granted how much. We, most of the time, 90% of the time, I'd say Christians as a whole, all of us, take for granted what fire this book has been through. But it has proven, and that to me, that's why I believe it's so true. That's why I believe it's so real, is that you can go all the way back to the beginning, the creation of the earth in Genesis, and God's word's been there. And God's word's proven itself. God's word has proven its purity. God's word has proven its truth. And even Christians today, they hear this kind of message, and it's offensive. It's almost as if even Christians are skeptical of God. But I believe it comes from an avoidance or avoiding the truth that is His word. If we don't believe in its truth, if we don't believe in its purity, why would we expect to have any hope or any faith in our Savior? If we just believe it's a fairy tale, why? Because church has become social for most people. It's just a social thing. Well, I hate to steal your thunder, Sam. We were talking today. We were discussing back and forth, and we come up, me and Sam, mostly Sam, come up with this thought. Church is the only place many people go without a purpose. And I'm not going any further because Brother Sam's got some thoughts to share on that later on, but church is the only place people go without a purpose. Everywhere else they go, there's a purpose, right? Everywhere we go, we have a purpose. But for many people, church, what's the purpose? Becoming mechanical and robotic about church. It's because we've lost the love for the truth in the word. We come and we go, and so often unchanged. That's the shame. That's the sad thing, is that so many come into the presence of God and they're unchanged. So many Christians have been unaffected by conviction. And then they renounce Jesus and everybody wonders why. So many people have been unchanged by the presence of God. What a shame it is that so many sit in church in the presence of the Spirit of God and they're unchanged. Got a message I've been studying on. It's going to be a while. This is one of them I'm having to put back in the fire a few times. But have y'all ever heard of St. Lukewarm's Baptist Church? St. Lukewarm's Baptist Church. That's where we're at, church. Society, church as a whole. You got a society that's so hungry. We have access to everything. We've got AI that, I mean, it's writing papers for people. It's sending messages for people. It's paying people's, I don't know what it's doing. It's paying people's bills. It's going to kill somebody before long. It's crazy. AI, the greatest technological advancement we've ever seen. People have never been more hungry for peace. And we don't even have the, we see what's going on in Israel, we see what's going on in Ukraine, but we don't have the war that our societies have seen in the past. COVID was bad, but you realize there was years and times in the past, the half of the population of Europe was killed during the Black Plague, 50%. What we have seen is not even as bad as what the world has experienced in the past, but we have so much, we've never been more hungry. So hungry. And so you've got this hungry society, and we've got a lukewarm church, and those things just don't mix. And it comes from a lack of faith in the truth of God's Word, in the purity of God's Word. Why? How do you know that? Because if the church loved the Word like we should love the Word, we'd be on fire. And so I think a lot of this thought, and I'm done, a lot of this thought centers around the qualities of the Word. If we can focus on the qualities of God's Word in its purity and its truth, next we're going to look at its perfection. If we look at the qualities of God's Word, and I walk day in and day out in love with God's Word. Some of you weren't in here on Wednesday night, so I'm going to share real quick what I said. Your friends, and your relationship with your friends, if you miss a week, or you miss, me and Heath was just talking about this, wasn't we? We maybe don't talk for a month because we just get busy. But we catch up and we're like, we're good. I hadn't talked to you in a month, but we kind of pick up where we left off, right? No offense. We're just busy. But if I did that to Shelby, how different would that be? Way different. Amen. And I have different responsibilities to my wife. This word is no different. So my point is, if you neglect your, pick it up like an old friend, it's harder to pick up where you left off with this word. If it's not part of your daily, day in and day out, could you imagine being one of the New Testament churches and you received a letter? We've got the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, he has written us a word. James has written us a word. John has written us a word. And that's all they had. We have the whole word. We have every bit of it. We have God's entire revelation to mankind. Yet we're unchanged. And so what I challenge you, church, is get in love with this word. And there's some of you that you're in love with it. And it shows. You can tell when a couple's together that they're in love. You can tell, man, that love encourages me. You can see somebody with a word, and by their demeanor, by how they talk and how they act, you can see someone in love with their word. So I challenge you, get in love with the word. How do we get in love with the word? Look at the qualities of the word. When you go get married to somebody, you look at somebody's qualities, don't you? Is she pretty? Is he handsome? That's where we start. That's a safe place to start. You don't want to be miserable your whole life. I'm just kidding. But guess what? What do we start finding out? We look at the face value, but then you dig deeper and you dig deeper and you dig deeper, and you can have a beautiful person. You can have a handsome man. You can have a beautiful woman, and you dig deeper and you dig deeper, and you find there's some qualities in there. They're not that desirable. But guess what? The deeper you dig in this word, you will find no qualities. No qualities that are undesirable. They may convict you of your sin, but that's what it's here for. So get in love with your word. Look at the qualities of your word. Lord, you've given us a pure word. You've given us a true word. You've given us a perfect word. You've given us a precious word. You've given us a long-lasting word, a long-suffering word, a holy word, a hopeful word, a happy word. You've given us all these qualities of your word. And I promise, if you look at the qualities of your word, you'll fall in love with it. And just like a marriage, if you don't date your word, the fire will get very, very low. You've got to spend time with it. You've got to be intimate with this word. Lord, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to dedicate time to you. I'm going to dedicate time to your word. And if we will love our word, we'll be lukewarm no more. Amen.